accredited certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Information at carthage.edu/grad. Support comes from the Racine Symphony, celebrating its 85th season with its annual gala at Wingspread, Saturday, August 6th. It's an evening of music, elegant hors d'oeuvres, and beverages against the serene backdrop of the Wingspread landscape. To reserve a seat or a table, call 636-9285.
This is WGTD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first and third Saturdays of every month.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, and I'm Felicia King. The show today is going to be mostly about security things that you should know about, specifically ransomware, what's happening on LinkedIn, spear phishing attacks, piracy extortion exams, password reuse attacks, all kinds of fun things like that, as well as you know, I love to use real-world examples that are actually happening to people in our local geographic area so that you can learn from the mistakes of others. So let's get started. First of all, I'm going to publish a link to a really nice article that Microsoft wrote on the CyberTrust blog, and it's all about ransomware. They titled it Understanding the Risk. It really is a very nicely done article, and I strongly encourage you to utilize it as an educational tool inside of your own organization. I don't need to go through the content here. I'm going to link that on the Breakfast Bites page for this show. So if you're the IT manager and you need to educate the CEO or the owner of the business, then this is the one article that you want them to read. All right, now let's move on to an analysis that Proofpoint, which is a security company, they did an analysis on a new ransomware threat called BART. And BART is actually a piece of new ransomware that was designed by the same threat actors that wrote Drydex and Locky. And what it is doing is it's including an attachment in email that is got malicious content in it. Now, I don't need to go into all the details beyond that. I'm going to include the link and you can check it out yourself if you're interested. But what's crucial for you to understand is that the email-borne threats right now are one of the top two vectors that's happening. So the actual number one threat vector for ransomware is email delivery mechanisms. The second one actually tends to be Dropbox, and I know you're not going to be really shocked by that. There's a lot of folks I've run into lately that they seem to have some sort of idea that Dropbox, especially personal accounts, has any security in it at all. And, well, you'd just be completely hallucinating if you think that you can get a free Dropbox account and that it has somehow some sort of security protections in place. No, that's not the case. And in fact, if you're paying for like larger storage on Dropbox, again, you're not getting any security protections where they're scanning for viruses or whatever. No, that is not the case. They don't provide any of that. Now, if you get a business class account, which last time I checked, I think it was like $65 a month, which is not cheap. And then when you consider the $65 a month compared with, oh, let's get Office 365 and use SharePoint and OneDrive instead, clearly Office 365 is looking like a much better option. So you then say, well, okay, Felicia, are you telling us that that there's security included in Dropbox for Business or Office 365 that's going to be scanning for these ransomware threats and killing them? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that if you're a really smart, savvy person, you're going to get Trend Micro's Cloud App Security product, which does directly integrate with Office 365 and thereby provide full ransomware protection for SharePoint, Exchange Online, and OneDrive. Now, SharePoint and Office or OneDrive are a direct replacement, and actually it's got a whole heck of a lot more features than what Dropbox has ever got. And so the other thing is, let's say you did still want to continue to use Dropbox, you would first of all have to use Dropbox for business. And if you did want to use Dropbox for business, because, well, either you want that or you don't, you know, or you want Office 365, I don't know why you'd pay for both. But regardless, licensing for Cloud App Security will plug into either, as well as Google for Work and School, and it will provide that advanced persistent threat scanning and blocking, which will handle things like disease vectors, any sort of malicious, nasty things, and specifically the ransomware nastiness. Now, this is really significant. The other thing that I would say is just incredible is, and I mean really, truly incredible, trend right now in July. I mean, first of all, right now they're providing a product called Worry-Free Business Services Advanced, which is already a combo of worry-free services plus hosted email security. Well, in July, they're adding Cloud App Security to that. And that's the trifecta of what you need in order to have as in terms of let's secure the cloud aspect, let's secure the email aspect, and let's secure the host-based product aspect. So that doesn't stop you from still having the need to have a proper network security strategy, such as a properly programmed perimeter security appliance that's functioning as your core router. However, this bundle pack of Worry-Free Businesses Advanced is really the trifecta approach, because if we go back to the BART ransomware example, if this thing is coming to you via email, whether you've got a POP3 email service or you've got Office 365 or you've got a Google for Work or whatever it is, you can have hosted email security bundled with Cloud App Security. And any which way that ransomware is coming in, if it's coming in through the email-borne vector or coming in through the cloud upload component, then you're going to have the protection. And I cannot stress enough how significant this is, because I can tell you that what I've been seeing in the last month has been an explosion in the quantity of really malicious disease vector spear phishing attacks that are coming through email. They're getting past spam filters. And if you do not have something like hosted email security in combination with Cloud App Security, then that garbage will be getting to your users, and they very well may be clicking on it. In fact, I talked to a company here in Wisconsin, and they reached out to me based upon the fact that they were spending several hundred hours dealing with ransomware infections that the staff kept reinfecting themselves. Now, as I dug into it, there was a lot of interesting learning points for this organization, and I'm going to share these learning points with you so that you can learn from their mistakes. So here's a company that had actually purchased WatchGuard Fireboxes and had actually purchased it with the full security suite. However, they had not maintained a relationship with a certified security consultant such as myself, who is actually going to then help them maintain those devices, maintain the firmware on it. In fact, the internal IT person had not even maintained the FireWare OS level to be current on those devices. For some bizarre reason, they thought they could hire some consultant 3 years ago to program these appliances and then somehow, walk away. It's fine. Yeah, you never need to update anything or make any changes. That is such a broken paradigm if your IT personnel are not, number one, trained by a high-end security architect like myself, and two, if they are not maintaining those devices, then as a business owner, you need to understand you've paid for something that through the negligence of your IT personnel or through the fact that you've handcuffed them and said, no, you can't have a relationship with somebody who can actually appropriately support you, then you've paid for something that you're effectively denying its ability to provide protections to you. And that's exactly what happened at this company. They had the right equipment. They had the right security suite subscription. None of it was being maintained. And so they're getting ransomware. Now, let's couple that with where you say, well, but Felicia, what about the host-based security product? You know, now, they didn't have any protections at the email layer whatsoever. So, you know, I mean, that's an obvious issue right there. But at the host-based product layer, they did actually have the right product. They had a product that could have really completely prevented the entire ransomware infection problem, except yet again, internal IT staff had not maintained that product at the patch level such that it had the feature set. They also had not actually properly programmed the thing. This is, you know, I mean, how many times have you heard me say, you can buy all the right stuff. If you don't maintain it, and if it isn't configured properly, you will not get the value. So for those of you out there that are like shopping for product, just forget that. That's a broken paradigm. Stop shopping for product. Shop for a relationship. Because if you do not have a relationship with a dedicated security architect, and I'm talking about somebody who has not only all the certifications, the experience, and the dedication to maintaining that level of expertise in all the products that you have, then you're going to be blindsided by some sort of a problem because it's completely unrealistic to expect the on-site internal IT manager to be some sort of a security expert. I mean, just think about the fact that if they actually were a security expert, they wouldn't be your IT manager because they'd be making 130 grand a year. And when you think that, oh, well, we can just, you know, have our managed service provider or we'll have our, you know, regular IT consulting firm handle this stuff, I got to tell you, there is not a single IT consulting firm and managed service provider company that has under 200 employees, which is, you know, 99% of MSPs and consulting firms out there. That I can think of other than my business that actually has a certified security architect on staff. Now, why? Well, that is because if you look at the entire IT industry worldwide, or, you know, if you just want to look at the United States, I don't care. The statistics are the same. Less than 1% of all individuals that have been employed as professionals in the IT industry at all over a 10-year time period, assuming that you're looking at people with 10 years of experience, I'm not talking about green people just out of college, but people with 10 years of experience, the entire quantity of those individuals, less than 1% of those individuals actually has what could be characterized as adequate security knowledge. So if you look at that statistic and then you say, oh, well, my internal IT manager by themselves has all of the knowledge, skills, and ability to get the job done. Well, you're kidding yourself. It is completely unrealistic to expect your internal IT manager to have that kind of expertise. So the paradigm of just hiring an internal IT manager and then not giving them that external support and then somehow expecting them to be successful at protecting you, that's a broken paradigm that will never work. Yet on the other hand, I can tell you about a paradigm that does work, that has been proven to work over the last 16 years. 100% of the time it works. And that is where there is a deep, long-term relationship between your internal IT manager and the external IT security architect. And then what happens is that the security architect who is dedicated to that relationship knows what you're using in your business and proactively communicates to the IT manager, say, hey, there's this new setting that you should be using in the product that you already have. You need to go turn that on. Now, by simply having that relationship, you're going to enable yourself as a business to have access to that information in an ongoing basis. Now, if you don't have that relationship, if you think that, I don't know, you can like do a bid on that, like, oh, well, you know, we're going to do this project, so let's do an RFB for, you know, and go with the lowest cost provider. That also is a failed strategy. To think that, in fact, I just had this conversation with the IT manager of a credit union in Madison earlier this week, where he was talking about, well, you know, we're going to RFB this. And I said, how in the world are you going to come up with apples to apples comparisons? I mean, if what you're interested in is doing is like finding the lowest cost solution provider, then you should have already had somebody who's qualified actually design and architect a solution for you. Because otherwise what's going to happen is, number one, you're going to exclude a whole bunch of people that are not going to waste their time doing a security architecture design for you for free. Nobody's going to do that. And then beyond that, there's this this issue of whatever proposals you do actually get, they're not going to be apples to apples. Now, unless you as the internal IT manager happen to already be a certified security architect, you have no ability to actually evaluate the pros and cons of various designs. So, and this sort of approach is completely applicable to any sort of idea where you want to like bid out something. Okay. Stop this idiotic idea of bidding out something that you don't already have a full design for. What you need, if you're going to go on this crazy route of bidding, which I disagree with anyways, because you know, you're basically, you can bid out product, but you can't bid out a solution. So, you know, if you're looking for who am I going to buy this product that I already know what the product is, fine, go ahead and bid that out, you know, but you can't bid out the solution because the solution requires architecture and engineering expertise, strategy, design effort, and so forth. And I mean, if you're doing something like, oh, well, I'm going to bid out my Office 365 migration. Now, somebody's either going to just totally highball you, or they're going to give you a ton of exclusions with a whole list of assumptions, and then they're going to smack you on the back end with, well, you know, your DNS isn't right, blah, 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 all these other things aren't right, you know, that's not included in the price that, you know, we bid, so that's all going to be extra. You would be much better off to actually have a relationship with a qualified individual who could do an assessment, analysis, and an engineering plan for you up front. And then if you actually wanted to bid that out, then you could bid that out. But again, I think this whole bidding out stuff is a completely failed strategy when you're talking about the small to mid market. What works as a paradigm in the small to mid market in terms of delivering value to an organization is where you have a relationship between your internal IT manager and then the external consultant who really gets the job done and who's dedicated to the success of your organization. It's this whole concept of kind of the virtual CIO who helps you budget and helps you plan and keeps you proactively knowledgeable on the various technologies. I'll give you a very simple example of that. I've been telling people lately that if they have Office 2013 in their environment, they really need to start getting their plans together to get Office 2016 rolled out to all their machines prior to next February, because you will not be able to use Office 2013 with Office 365 connections after next February. Now, if you're on some other older Exchange hosted solution provider, or you're on a POP3 system or whatever, that's fine, you know, and that's not going to be impacted. But if you are using Office 365, well, you're not going to be able to use, you know, Office 2013 to connect to it anymore. Now, how is the IT manager supposed to know that information? You know, I just don't think it's realistic to expect them to proactively know about all that type of stuff. So the other thing I've been seeing, so I was talking about spear phishing and things. I've also been seeing a ton of LinkedIn profile issues lately where there's literally hackers are creating fake LinkedIn profiles. And what I've seen is where I'll get an invite to connect to somebody and I'll just immediately be spotting something that's off about that profile. And it won't have a photo. And then an hour later, it's got some, you know, hot babe photo. And I'm like, that's just such garbage. I mean, it's just so fake. And now my rule of thumb is I will not connect with somebody that I don't know is affirmatively a real human being and is not a jerk. You know, because if I'm connected to somebody, I'm effectively certifying by my reputation that this person is not crazy and they're not a jerk. So, you know, you need to make sure that you're not just some sort of a connection spaz. You need to be connecting only with people that you truly know. And in terms of other LinkedIn security measures that you should be doing is go in there and change the privacy settings so that only you can see your connections. There's a real trend of scumballs on the internet that are trolling LinkedIn, and when they're connected with you, then they're going to start trolling your connections. And this is really relevant in business because these other scumballs will troll your connections to try and steal your business, et cetera, or they're trying to gain some sort of competitive intel on you. So, you know, you want to have some sort of rock star profile, but at the same time, don't allow other people to see your connections. That's just not kosher. So spear phishing attacks, if you do not have this multi-layered security that I'm talking about, please contact me because you are going to get breached. It is only a matter of time. I have just seen this explosion in these attacks lately. And I'm getting 2 to 3 phone calls a week from new people where they're having issues. And so if you want to just go on a reactive basis and call me later, you know, hey, that's your judgment call. But I would highly encourage you to get proactive about it. Password reuse attacks, we got to talk about this a little bit because it's still happening. I mean, password management utilities have been free for at least a decade. So there's really no reason to utilize the same password everywhere. And the password reuse attacks are so prevalent now, it's hit GitHub, go to my PC, LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, I mean, basically it's hitting everything at this point. And if you are engaging in reuse of passwords, then you're basically your own worst enemy at that point, because the bad guys are going to try your credentials with this password that you've used someplace else. And earlier this week, I spoke to a gentleman whose email, his Office 365 email, had been broken into several times over the last 2-week period. And I asked him one simple question. Do you have multi-factor authentication turned on your Office 365 tenant? And he says, well, no. And I said, well, why not? It's free to turn it on. And it's very easy and user-friendly to use. So simply having multi-factor authentication turned on will stop the bad guys from getting into your Office 365 content. They are not going to be able to intercept your text messages. Certainly people as sophisticated as the NSA could probably do that. You know, you need to be doing things like using the Azure Authenticator app. You know, I mean, this is why it's so crucial to actually get consulting services from a competent, highly experienced person who understands identity management and this whole security aspect. You can't just expect your internal IT manager to be setting up your Office 365 tenant and your Office 365 environment, and then suddenly, oh yeah, hey, we got security, and you know, now we're not going to get breached. Well, if you've made it such that you don't have adequate security protections in place, yeah, the bad guys are probably going to get your password, and then they're going to get in your Office 365, and it doesn't matter that you've got all these other security protections in place because you didn't protect the password vector. So again, I go back to this whole thing of saying, if you expect your internal IT manager all by themselves to get the job done, I don't think that is a realistic expectation. Also wanted to tell you about the massive uptick in IPS attacks that I've been seeing. And now the reason that I see this stuff is because certainly as I am browsing the internet, I am protected by my Firebox. And I also look at security logs on a daily basis for all of my clientele that I provide that service to. And what I'm seeing is you take an organization of, let's say, 100 people or so, in a week, they're probably going to be getting protected by their Firebox to the tune of over 1,500 IPS attacks in a week. So if you don't have a properly programmed and properly capabilityed perimeter security appliance that's protecting you, that's how many times, you know, the bad guys are going to be coming and, you know, trying to get your systems. And some of those actually may be successful. And in the case of this individual I talked to where their Office 365 tenant password had basically been compromised multiple times over a couple weeks, I can tell you exactly what's going on there. Here's an individual that doesn't have proper perimeter protection. So therefore, some sort of an attack came through a website that they browsed, which put like a keystroke logger and a screen capture device on their machine. Their host-based security didn't catch it. Their egressing didn't catch it. They don't have adequate cybersecurity kill chain protections in place. And next thing you know, the bad guys got their password. And when you don't have the level of sophistication of E5 and enterprise protections, you're not even going to know that somebody logged on to your account from Russia. Right? You have no idea about that, and you don't have any ability to put in those sorts of rules to prevent that unless you have Azure AD Premium. So what can you do to mitigate that? Well, it's all the things you already know, plus multi-factor authentication. So this IPS attack, it's happening on all kinds of legitimate websites all the time if you don't have a properly programmed and capabilityed perimeter security appliance protecting you. It's not kosher. You're probably getting hacked. I'm also going to publish a link here about what's new in Office 2016 for Office 365. And I think you may want to be upgrading to Office 2016 if you possibly can. If you've got the 32-bit version installed right now and you've got a 64-bit computer, I would strongly recommend fully uninstalling Office 2013 32-bit and then installing Office 2016 64-bit. You will get so much more capabilities out of it. I'm also publishing a link to Dark Reading's website where they had an article about how ransomware just in Q1 of 2016, ransomware is up by 3,500%. So, the entertainment that I have out of this is that I really frankly think that it is easy to mitigate these risks if you maintain vigilance and you have the right parts and pieces in place. But it is complex. It is not something that there is common knowledge on how to do. You do need to have a significant degree of very specialized expertise to get the solution in place. But once it's in place and your internal IT manager has been provided with adequate training, and as long as you maintain that relationship with your security architect, then you will be successful. Anything less than that, I don't think you're going to be successful, and you're just playing Russian roulette on a daily basis with your business, because as soon as you decide to not take control over the cost profile of security, the bad guys will take control over the cost profile for you, which is exactly what happened to Target. And y'all know what happened with that. So that's it for the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, comments, feel free to email me. You can contact me either through the website, qualityplusconsulting.com, or you can email me, breakfastbites@gmail.com.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer